This is Shop Talk. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Bill Knight.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Mike Murray.
And as you heard, Lisa Koenig is joining us today, and she will be replacing Bill Knight on this panel as Bill Knight prepares to retire from Western Illinois University. Lisa, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Good to be here, Rich. I grew up in Macomb and was a newspaper reporter for 15 years in Massachusetts and most recently in Springfield, Illinois, before I moved back in 2006, and now I teach journalism at Western with an office next door to Bill's.
Although that office will soon be vacated. Mm-hmm. And we want to talk a little bit about Bill Knight's career. Despite his protests, Bill doesn't want to talk about himself. But you started at Western in the early 90s, and of course you had done quite a bit of reporting for a couple decades before that even.
Yeah, my teaching started at Western in 91. I taught part-time at Bradley University for a couple of years as feature writing and film appreciation, and then started here and returning to my alma mater because I was here as an undergrad.
And you you were the driving force behind, I believe it was called the Prairie Sun newspaper.
Yeah, and that was somewhat, it grew out of a kind of an alternative magazine in Macomb, Sunrise Magazine, which was claimed to be a monthly and came out about every 2 months. But it grew into this weekly that had fairly good presence in Macomb, Galesburg. It was published in Peoria. That's when I relocated to Peoria. We got up to 30,000 circulation. Wow. We published for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. Clear to as west as Fort Dodge, Iowa, as far north as Madison. Mm-hmm. It was a Midwest-oriented alternative.
Yeah. At your retirement reception, any number of musicians talked about how important that paper was to promoting what was going on in the cultural scene in the west-central Illinois, I guess, in the 1970s.
It was kind of flattering to hear that, although I would argue that the 18-year-old legal age to drink was also a factor in live music in that era. But when they restored the age to 21, it affected a lot of clubs that routinely offered live music. But in Macomb itself, I think there were four or five clubs that had live music, four or five nights a week. And that, fell apart when they changed the law.
Yeah. I seem to remember visiting a few of those back in the day. So, yeah. So, what prompted you to come? You came here from San Francisco?
San Diego.
San Diego. What prompted you to come back to Macomb from San Diego, Bill?
Oh, I fell in love with my wife. She was a reporter at Peoria and a columnist, Terry Bible. And I was in San Diego for about a year working for the Newspaper Guild Labor Union, which grew out of my participation in union activities in Peoria when I was working as a reporter. So technically, I sort of went to San Diego for a sabbatical for a year, and then because of our union contract, they let me have that leave of absence, and then they also had to take me back when I got married and returned. So,
you know, when we look back on someone's career, I always like to ask them how the job has changed, or what is the biggest change. And Lisa and I were talking about some changes, and perhaps you can chime in a moment, Lisa. But, Bill, I'm wondering how you think the industry, what's the biggest change, I guess, in the industry that you've seen over the past several decades?
I don't know. There's been a lot of changes. I think the one that's having the most influence is the fact that it's being managed by people who didn't come up through the ranks of the newsroom, which means that a lot of their decisions are logical financially, but they don't necessarily appreciate the consequences on the news gathering or the news delivery, for that matter. So for all the talk of the internet, I think many of those decisions about digital presentation or opening or closing bureaus were made by people who just didn't realize what goes on in a newsroom.
And Lisa, before we started recording, we were talking, you've been out of the newspaper business for almost 6 years, but even in that short amount of time, it's changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I was relating a story where I went on an assignment as a reporter in Springfield. It was an out-of-town assignment, and a photographer could not accompany me, and I offered to take pictures and was told not to. But now, in the 6 years since I've left, my reporting colleagues are now not only shooting pictures, but shooting videos and posting blog posts on the internet. The website is updated all the time. And when I was there, we were just basically throwing the newspaper up on the website and not updating it.
I would imagine the photographers now are probably expected to write stories as well as take photos. So it's going both ways there.
Right. It sounds to me like a case of total quality management or something like that, which is a sort of a euphemistic way of saying how much can we get out of how few people for how little investment mm-hmm. of our money and so forth. So, that's a recurrent thing that we've talked about here in the show, and it certainly has affected newspapers and electronic media as well. So,
yeah, and I think it affects ratings. Mm-hmm. The more the people choose not to tune into your show or your newscast or your pick up the paper, I think it results from people saying, this isn't meaningful to me anymore. It's a thinner newspaper. There's too many weathercasts and sports graphics and not enough news. And, it's not all about the bottom line if it affects the quality. And then the quality is going to affect the ratings and the audience, and then that's going to affect the bottom line. So it's a vicious cycle if they're not careful.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Lisa, do you still have friends in the newsroom over there?
Yes.
Are they still expected to generate as many stories per day while doing all these other things?
Yeah, they're expected to generate more stories than ever. They're really being worked hard.
And it makes you wonder, I think, I can't remember, I think it was the United Kingdom, they were talking about some province that had 6 or 8 daily papers, now they have 1, and they just notice that there are fewer reporters coming to council meetings or whatever, and the ones that are there, they said, are really trying hard, but they literally cannot keep up with what's going on in the community or the province. So I think that's happening throughout the United States as well.
Yeah, and a lot of times all you can really do is report on what happens at that council meeting or that board meeting, what sort of action is taken. You don't get a chance to do some real follow-ups and perhaps put a face on the story, if you will. You're just reporting on what the board or the council did.
Or I think Tri-States is good at its advanced stories as well. Like, this could happen. This precedes the actual event. Whereas, for example, the Quincy TV stations, they're pretty lucky if they can afford to send somebody to Macomb to cover a story once in a while. So, they have a huge geographic area to attempt to cover. And the same with print.
Yeah, we're trying to cover a large geographic area, too.
Sure.
So, with that, we are out of time today. Congratulations again to Bill on his retirement. And our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.